18. Luke chapter 18. We certainly hope that this cantata was a blessing to you. The message of the gospel put to song is powerful. And while we never want to bypass the mind on the way to the heart, music is meant to touch our heartstrings. And so is the gospel. And when the message of the gospel is coupled with music, it becomes a powerful medium of expression. So I hope you heard the message of the gospel in our song this morning. I hope you heard that Christmas is about God preparing a way for lost to be found. Luke chapter 19, we've turned to Luke chapter 18, but in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we read, "For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost." One song this morning called "Gloria, Our Savior Found Us." In that you heard the refrain sung several times, "Gloria, Our Savior Found Us." Gloria, O night divine, through the darkness, He won't relent. Mercy so great, we'll find a way. Gloria. But what if the message of God finding us was not a happy one? What if God found us to condemn us and judge us? What if the message of Christ finding us was to pour out God's wrath upon us? What kind of a Christmas message would that be? And that would not be a message without precedent in the Scripture. That would not be an illegitimate message. We all start this life. All of us, every one of us, start this life in a position of alienation and enmity or enemyship with God. We all begin in a position of God's wrath and judgment upon us. And the idea of God coming to the world to condemn it is one that has its foundation in both the past and the future. God has come down to judge the earth in the past in the form of the Genesis flood of Genesis chapter 6 through 8. He came down again to judge mankind at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 when man became confederate against God in their rebellion. And there is a time in the future when God's wrath will be poured out again. When Jesus comes in Revelation chapter 19, it will not be as a Savior, but as a judge, not as a lamb, but as a lion with a sword of judgment coming from His mouth. There is going to be one day what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, in which all who have rejected God will find their ultimate doom. So, it is not unreasonable or unbiblical to think that when God comes to find people, it always has a beneficial result for the one found. It's not always the case. Judgment looms. It has always loomed. Even when Christ was born, the specter of a world fit for judgment emerges because He was the babe born to die for the sins of His people. So not every finding has a pleasant ending. However, the message of Christmas is overwhelmingly the idea that God has sent His Son so that man might find acceptance with God through the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. And it is through one's personal faith in Christ as the sacrifice for our sins that we find acceptance. Listen, we all want to be accepted. Nobody likes to be rejected, left out. So we do a lot of things in order to be accepted and approved of others. The way we dress and the way we groom ourselves. Let's face it, we all dress fairly similarly. You know, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to be out of step. right? We want the way that we groom ourselves and dress to be acceptable. The way we behave ourselves in public, we want to have acceptable behavior. Most lives are dictated by the prevailing mores and standards of their given culture. And this is not bad. There's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to be accepted by your peers until it becomes more important than being accepted by God. The problem with wanting to be accepted is that it seems we're worried about being accepted by everyone except God. And when it comes right down to it, we ought to be concerned foremost with His acceptance of us. It's not a peer group that we should worry about. It's not our best friend, not even our wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend, and certainly not society at large that should be our primary concern. We should be primarily concerned with whether or not God accepts us. If Christmas is about anything, it is about what God has done in Christ to enable people to find acceptance with God. Now, to most people, it is unthinkable that they would not be accepted by God. Why wouldn't God accept me? I mean, I can't. God's a God of love, isn't He? He accepts us all. He understands us all. And it doesn't dawn upon them that God would ever not accept somebody. Why wouldn't God accept me? Here's the answer. It is because He accepts only those who have perfect righteousness and holiness with Him. And it is His acceptance and His alone that matters. This will determine our eternal destiny. This will determine the forgiveness of sins. Acceptance with God will determine whether or not we fulfill our purpose in this life. Without His acceptance, life is meaningless and eternity is unthinkable. Well, in the passage before us, interesting passage, Jesus lays out the difference between those that are accepted by God and those that are not. Now, it's a passage that has deep theological truths in it about salvation and reconciliation and justification and redemption, but it puts it in such a simple way so as to be unfolded in two fundamental truths about being accepted by God that Jesus tries to relate to us here. We've turned to chapter 18 in Luke. Look, if you will, in verse 9. And also, He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Two fundamental truths about being accepted with God in this passage. First of all, there is a wrong way to try and find acceptance with God. We find that in the case of the publican in verses 9 through 12. In short, the wrong way to try and find acceptance is through one's perceived good works. I say perceived good works because Romans 3 tells us that none of us actually does good. There is none of us that is righteous, not a single one. And to be accepted by God, we must be righteous. The problem of our sinfulness must be taken care of. It must be removed. The Pharisee was sure that he was accepted by God for the following reasons. He was extremely religious. He was a Pharisee. These men were the elite religionists of their day. They had religious rule, regulations, and rites that would make most of us look like religious amateurs. For instance, they would not look in a mirror on the Sabbath day because you weren't supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't look into a mirror on the Sabbath day for fear that they would find a gray hair in their beard and pluck it out. They would had little prayer boxes. They would put little written prayers in these little boxes that they would strap around their heads. They were called phylacteries. And they would try to have the biggest phylactery that they could, which would show their spirituality. These were religious dudes. Do you know man is incurably religious? There's never been a society on the face of the earth that has not embraced some kind of religion. 94% of all people alive on the face of the earth today believe in God, believe in some deity. Every nation, every people of all time have embraced some idea about religion and God and how to go about worshiping that God, because man is religious. And most people feel that they will be accepted by God because of their religion. Not so. The Jews thought this. They thought that because they had religion, one that was given from God, that they would be eternally saved from judgment just because they had the right religion. And yet in many places in the Old Testament, God tells them he does not accept the expression of their religion because it is corrupted with sinful hearts. We're going to put Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 17 up for you there. We won't take the time to read that, but maybe you could reference it. These references could be multiplied where God says even their God-ordered expression of worship and religion are condemned by God because they are being offered by people that were not righteous. Well, this Pharisee was certain that his intricate and consistent expression of his religion would give him acceptance with God. Most people feel this way. Note the second reason he thought he was righteous and therefore accepted by God. He felt he was better than most. He says, I am not like other men. You know, man tries to compare himself with other men. Based on that, we look pretty good. Most of us are not robbers. Most of us are not evildoers. Most of us are not adulterers, and we feel pretty good about ourselves. Generally, good people. Man's view of God's acceptance is that God kind of grades on the curve. That is, our grade is relative to everybody else's grade. And so compared with everybody else, hey, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. But God does not grade on the curve. He evaluates mankind based in this perfect holiness, perfect righteousness. Jesus Christ, you will not be compared with me. You will not be compared with the measure by which you will be measured is Jesus Christ. That's what God accepts. Perfect righteousness. Thirdly, this man thought he was righteous because he did a lot of good things. He says, you know, God, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get. Again, if you ask the average person if they think God will accept them into heaven, they will say, well, I think so. Some will definitely say yes. Others will say, I think so. You know, they won't be quite dogmatic about it, but I think so. And ask them why, and they think so, and the overwhelming response you will get is, I'm a pretty good person. I think my good works will outweigh my bad works. The good that I've done will outweigh the bad that I have done. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, not by works, so no man can boast. No matter how many good things you might do in this life, it is not enough to save you. It is not enough to erase even a single sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that you have never done one good thing that has been untainted by sin. You've never done one perfect thing that has been untainted by sin. And it is sin that prohibits us from being accepted by God. Well, that's the first truth. There is a wrong way to try and find acceptance with God. But secondly, there's a right way to be accepted by God. Look at verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The right way to find acceptance and righteousness with God is the simple way of faith. God has provided a means for people to be able to find acceptance with Him. It was through the Son that He sent to become a man, to live the perfect life that none of us could live, and then to pay the penalty of our sin that we could not pay ourselves. This was His plan. This is His plan for acceptance. And that's what Christmas is about. It's not just about the coo and the sweetness of the manger scene and the candlelight and all the wonderful things, all good things, all wonderful things. But at the very foundation of Christmas is God reaching out and making a way for man to be accepted. And the only way that that could be done is for Jesus Christ to take your place, to live the righteous life that you cannot live, that I cannot live, to die the sacrificial death, to pay for your sins that I cannot pay for, to find forgiveness in what Jesus Christ has done, coming into the world in the incarnation to be the second Adam, to be the perfect human that Adam failed to be. And so, we come to this account understanding that this man was looking as the Pharisee was. He was looking for righteousness. He was looking to be righteous with God. The Pharisee put forth all of his good works and his religion and his comparative relationship with other people, and he put forth all the good works that he did. And this other man who knew that he needed righteousness did three things. First of all, he humbled himself before God. He humbled himself before God. He stood at a distance and would not so much as look up to heaven. You get the picture of the Pharisee standing, as was often the case out in public. These Pharisees with their big phylacteries on would stand and they would pray aloud and they would expound upon their righteousness. And this tax collector, this man who was despised by the Jewish people because they were the lackeys of the Roman government, they would collect the taxes from the people, the onerous taxes. And even worse than that, most of these tax collectors would themselves extract more than was legal or lawful for themselves. And they would enrich themselves. And they were hated by the Jewish people. And this tax collector stood there. And he did not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven. But you get the picture of one standing near the temple. And in this humble condition before God. With empty hands and a humble heart. No one who comes to God with any stitch of pride can find acceptance with God. If we cling to the last shred of our own goodness to find acceptance with God, we can find no acceptance. No one who comes with full hands to find acceptance with God will find it. The works of our hands are soiled with sin. The best of our good works is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. Romans 3:10 tells us there is no one righteous, no, not one. And this tax collector realized this. He recognized his own spiritual bankruptcy. He realized that he had nothing to offer for his sin. He was totally sinful and without hope before a holy God. And so he comes to God with empty hands and in abject humility, not trusting in supposedly good things that he had done. Secondly, he was repentant over his sin. He smote his breast. He beat his breast. This was a great sign of grief and repentance. This was his expression of grief. Why was he grieved? Because he realized how unrighteous he was. He realized what a sinner he was before a holy God, and nobody can find acceptance with God without repenting of their sin. Repenting of sin is recognizing our sin as an offense against God and turning away from it. And then thirdly, he cried out to God in faith for mercy. He simply said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He didn't come to God arguing that he was religious. He didn't come offering all the good works he had done. He didn't come comparing himself to someone else. He came in faith pleading for mercy. Now, I think there's an additional insight here in this passage in the next three verses that we often overlook because it's kind of cordoned off in our Bibles. And it's about the little children coming to Jesus. Verse 15. Now, when they were bringing even infants, to Jesus that he might touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." This publican came in childlike dependency to Christ. Now, most have isolated these verses away from this account, but I rather feel that this is the application of what Jesus has just said about the Pharisee and the tax collector. On the heels of this tax collector's repentance, people were trying to bring little children to Jesus, and they were finding resistance from the disciples. Jesus corrects the disciples and says, "Do not forbid them, because you know what? Nobody gets into heaven. Nobody enters the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, except they come like a little child." What is characteristic of a little child? They are totally dependent on someone else to keep them alive. They are totally dependent on someone else. And if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you want to become a child of God, you have to become totally dependent on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin, that you might find acceptance with God. There is a way to find acceptance with God. The Pharisee didn't know it. The tax collector did. Because Jesus says in verse 14, "I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified." Justified, righteous before God, declared righteous before God, accepted by God. This is how the work of Jesus Christ on the cross can be effective to make an individual accepted to God. Humbly and repentantly cry out to God for mercy, and by faith recognize Jesus as your Savior. This is how we find acceptance. Gloria, our Savior found us. Gloria, O night divine, through the darkness, He won't relent. Mercy so great, we'll find a way. O glory. In the Old Testament, the question was, how is God going to do this? How is God going to take this wicked, sinful human race and make a way for that sinful human race to receive my mercy? God's justice and God's mercy seem to be at odds with each other all through the Old Testament. But through the darkness, He would not relent. Mercy so great found a way. That way is Jesus Christ and Him becoming a man to pay for the sins of all those who would trust Him as Lord and Savior. So, will you be found today? If so, you will be found through a humble, repentant faith in Christ as the one that came to make payment for your sin, for my sin, on the cross of Calvary. Please stand, if you will, for this benediction. You know, if you would say in your heart today, you know, I want to be accepted through the work of Christ on Calvary, would you simply cry out in your heart? Would you simply cry out as the publican did, as the tax collector did? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Would you simply say by faith, like a little child, I come trusting only in what Christ has done for me on the cross, turning away from your sin and recognizing Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's how simple it is. And yet, that's how profound it is, because it will change your life and it will change your eternity. Now receive this benediction. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, turn unto us with a kindly face and merciful demeanor. Forgive us in Jesus Christ. Move us in the Holy Spirit to be more like Him. Dismiss us with full yet humble hearts that trust in Christ alone for our righteousness and forgiveness. Amen. And amen. We are dismissed.